This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم الثاني من شهر شعبان 1445 الموافق ل 12 صح 12 من شهر فبراير 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الليين. And first of all, sorry for the late. It wasn't intended that Mazin is one of the causes because he asked the last question that took a longer time. So this he should be blamed, not... But anyway, sorry. We went for another program thinking that we would be able to come back by 6. But unfortunately, it doesn't go like that. So thank you for your patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you reliable scholars and students of knowledge for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this himmah. Usually in our time we get annoyed and leave the place, but anyway, inshallah next time also you will not get annoyed. Okay, so last time we stopped at the saying of Mu'allif wa qaddalla. Is it correct? Aina. Qala, if you remember last time, he says, "I'lam anna anfa al-muhabba ala al-itlaqi wa awjabaha wa a'laha wa ajallaha muhabbatu man jubilat al-qulub ala muhabbatihi." He said, "The best type of muhabba is muhabbatullah azza wa jalla." Right? He says, "Wa qad dalla ala wujubi muhabbatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala jami'u kutubihi al-munazzala." All the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, indicates that it is wajib upon all of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love Allah. No book that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is not upon this concept, that we have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually we cannot survive without loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of us. Loving Allah is part of human beings. وَدَعَوَةُ جَمِيعِ رُسُولِهِ. And all of the da'wah of all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also focusing on this fact. وَفِطْرَتُهُ الَّتِي فَطَرَ عِبَادَهُ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَكَّبَ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْعُقُولِ وَمَا أَسْبَقَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النِّعَمِ فَإِنَّ الْعُقُولَ مَفْطُورَةٌ مَجْبُولَةٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ مَنْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهَا. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us, the aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, and the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, all of these are saying to us that it is necessary for us to love Allah. Get it? قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ جُبِلَتْ عَلَى حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. Right? Because the heart, designed, naturally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heart upon loving whoever is good to them. جُبِلَتْ النُّفُوسَ عَلَى حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. Yeah. That's a fact, It's part of our fitrah. We love whoever is being kind with us. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ مَفْطُورَةٌ مَجْبُولَةٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ مَنْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهَا وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ كُلُّ الْإِحْسَانِ مِنْهُ. Allahu Akbar. If I do kindness once for you, you might love me because of that. Only one time I did. You get it? So he says, how about dealing with the one who is the source of all of the ihsan? There is no ihsan in this life which is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No ihsan. Any ihsan that you see, any good that happens to you in this life, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the idea? If you love a person because he did ma'ruf to you once, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of all of the ma'ruf, including that one that came from that person, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ كُلُّ الْإِحْسَانِ مِنْهُ وَمَا بِخَلْقِهِ جَمِيعِهِمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ. And any ni'mah that comes and happens to us in our life is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ. It doesn't have partner in that regard. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Try to imagine a ni'mah that is not from Allah. That would be beyond the realm of a joke. It doesn't exist. Right? You cannot imagine a ni'mah that is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you have of ni'mah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ إِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فَإِلَيْهِ تَجْأَرُونَ. And whenever you are affected by a dhur, calamity, hardship, you know, evil, you go back to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so funny, you know. When they are okay, idols. When they are in trouble, Rabbul Alameen. So okay, so funny and so unfair. Allah says, Tilka idhan qismatun dhiza. Subhanallah. They told him, Kam ilahan ta'abud? Qala sit or khams. He says, Kam ilah ta'abud? How many ilah you worship? He said, 5 or 6. They said, which one you hope the most? He says, خَمْسَةٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَوَاحِدٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَمْسَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَوَاحِدٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ. He said, I have 5 on earth and 1 in the heaven. And subhanAllah, even kuffar also believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his creation, you know. He says, خَمْسَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَوَاحِدٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ. They say, which one you hope the most? He said, الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ. You know, and قِصَّةُ what is the name of the son of Abu Jahl? Ikrima. I know. When he was trying to run away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Mallah in the Safina, you know, those wave, they were taking the ferry. And the guy was telling them, you should throw away your idols. You should know that لَن تَنْفَعْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So he says, what is this? You know, that was exactly what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting me to. And now when he's in trouble and the guy was telling him, nothing can help you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. You know, whenever a person is in a critical moment, he goes back to his fitrah. Yeah, because fitratu la takdhib alayh. His fitrah will never lie. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فَإِلَيْهِ تَجَعْرُونَ. Whenever you are affected by dhur, you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being double standard, right? قَالَ وَمَا تَعَرَّفَ بِهِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتِهِ الْعُلَىٰ وَمَا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ آثَارُ مَصْنُوعَاتِهِ مِنْ كَمَالِهِ وَبَهَائِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. You know, all of these are indicating that the mahabbatullahi azza wa jalla is wajiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he introduced himself through his names and his attributes to us. This is ni'mah, iwallah. Just to have these names with us is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this deserves shukr and mahabba lillahi azza wa jalla. So asma'il husna wa sifatihi, and also whatever we generate from this name, ma'rifatu hadhihi al-asma' min athari masnu'atihi. You know, the author of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min kamalihi wa baha'ihi. You know, all of these confirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect and the highest and the greatest and the best. قال والمحبة لها داعيان الجمال والجلال الرب تبارك وتعالى له الكمال المطلق من ذلك فإنه جميل يحب الجمال بل الجمال كله له والإجلال كله منه فلا يستحق أن يحب لذاته من كل وجه سواه. He says والمحبة لها داعيان. There are two causes of محبة. There are two causes of mahabbah. I think it's fixed now. he still believes that I don't know technology that much. Not in technology is not only in engineering, you know, you also learn. So there are two causes of muhabba. One of them is al-jamal, beauty, wal-jalal, and respect and good prestige and good image, you know, and highness. فَالرَّبُّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى لَهُ الْكَمَالُ الْمُطْلَقُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. If you talk about jalal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has al-kamal al-mutlaq. The most perfect completeness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. Because there is nobody who is greater than Allah. There is nobody who is higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nobody who is more azim than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-jamal, there is nobody who is more beautiful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is jameel and he loves beauty. بَلِ الْجَمَالُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ. Jamal belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْإِجْلَالُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ. الْإِجْلَال belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَسْتَحِقُّ أَن يُحَبَّ لِذَاتِهِ أَلَا يَسْتَحِقُّ أَحَدٌ أَن يُحَبَّ لِذَاتِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And nobody, you say that you love him, لِذَاتِهِ. يعني ذاتِهِ يعني هو. You love the whole thing, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone, you love him because of some behavior. Yeah? You love this person because he's this. You don't like him, you know, because he's that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. يحب من كل وجه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, you should tell them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you claim to be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. They call it ayatul imtihan, right? You claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the athar of that muhabba? How do you let us know that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, that should be based on being obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the real love. Yeah, I love Allah, you love Allah, everyone claims that they love Allah, but who is the true person in his love? It's only one. And that's the one who follows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. Whoever stays away from the religion of Allah, Allah says, O you who believe, whoever committed ridda, ridda is apostasy, right? To change the religion. That's why in Islam, ridda is haram, right? Yeah, no. Ridda is haram because entering Islam to us is a matter of choice. I mean, between us and others is a matter of their choice. We don't force them to take Islam. But between them and Allah, is it a matter of choice? No, not at all. They have to accept Islam. They must. But between them and us is a matter of their choice. They choose to accept Islam, they accept it. They don't want to accept Islam, they stay. They're going to pay the price and bear the consequences when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But between them and Allah, they must accept Islam. You know? They are مخاطبون بالإجماع. The kuffar مخاطبون بالإيمان, right? And they have to accept it. So ridda is haram. I'm repeating this because nowadays we have those who think that ridda is a matter of choice. No, ridda is haram. A person is not allowed Islamically to commit apostasy. The authority, they have to take action against anyone who's committing apostasy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man baddala dinahu faqtulu. Whoever changes his religion, he should be killed. Man yartadda minkum an dinihi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us understand that he doesn't need us. He says, if you guys are to go out of the religion and to go against Allah, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ مَنْ يُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will bring a people who loves him and he loves them. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are very humble to the believers. أَذِلَّة here is referring to humility and humbleness to the believers. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, and very harsh and firm when it comes to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it doesn't mean that whenever you meet non-Muslim, you have to be harsh, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْصِدُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. It is not haram for you to have good relationship with those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as they don't take you out of your territories and they don't fight you. That means he's referring to Ahlu al-Dhimma. Ahlu al-Dhimma. Ahlu al-Dhimma, these are the people who are under a treaty between them and the Muslimin, that they will not fight the Muslim and the Muslim will not fight them. So they have our respect and protection, and we're not allowed to fight them. And if a person is to kill them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَرَأْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. If a person kill a dhimmi, he will not smell paradise. So we are recommended also by the Sharia to be, we are encouraged to be kind to them, to those ones. The only one that you should be harsh is the enemy of Allah who is fighting Allah and the believers. Anyone with no restriction. قال أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. They will be fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without being afraid of the blame of the blamers. They don't care. You blame them, you don't blame them, it's up to you. But they do the jihad and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. قال يجاهدون في سبيل الله. What is jihad? Fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be fighting for the sake of Allah under the Imam, right? Under the Imam. The only time when you don't go under the Imam is when the enemy attacked the city. Yeah, in this case, everyone has to fight the enemy back to remove him from our city. It's wajib to do that. Other than that, no, it goes with the Imam. You have a leader in the country, you follow that one. Nowadays we have Jaish, we have army. Yeah, they are supposed to be handling this part. So the community will enjoy a peaceful life. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives whomsoever He wishes. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wasi'. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl is so big, much bigger than our need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. He has a lot, He has everything, and He knows everyone. And He knows everything, and He knows our need. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your real wali is Allah. Right? إن ولي الله الذي نزل الكتاب وهو يتولى الصالحين. So he says, your wali is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rasuluhu. Yeah, nowadays the awliya are kuffar, unfortunately. You Allah, kuffar, unfortunately. So he says, your wali is Allah and his messenger. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا and the believers. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And this is the description of those believers that are your wali. They establish the prayer on time, with sincerity, with khushu', and according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. And they are doing the ruku' to Allah subhanahu وَيْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. أَلَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. This comes to my mind, I said, no, there is no zakah here. Alhamdulillah, I have hufaz if they are not looking at the book. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. And they give the charity. Yeah. And they give the charity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. It doesn't mean that they're giving the charity وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. And then the Shia, they said, actually it's referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's giving charity when he was making ruku'. Oh Allah, it's not referring to this. It's referring to the continuous, a preservation of the deen. Yeah, and they maintain their istiqamah in their prayers. But it doesn't mean that he's given the sadaqah. Yeah, so whenever you want to give sadaqah, you go for ruku first and then look at the poor person, you pass the charity. So whether it is authentically attributed to Ali bin Abi Talib or it is not, but this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Allahu Akbar. And whoever takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his wali. Wali is what? The closest one to somebody. And the one who protects, you know, and the one who supports. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. If a person takes Allah as his wali, and takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his wali, and takes the believers as his awliya, he should know that his side is always going to win. فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمْ الْغَالِبُونَ. The party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must win. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرَسُولِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has to win, he and his prophets and his messengers. قال والولاية أصلها الحب فلا موالاة إلا بحب. Do you guys have a lot of questions? Okay, if you have questions, then we can stop the class here and ask until the end. If not, then I will continue. Okay. قال والولاية أصلها الحب فلا موالاة إلا بحب كما أن العداوة أصلها البغض. والله ولي الذين آمنوا وهم أولياؤه فهم يوالونه بمحبتهم له وهو يواليهم بمحبته لهم فالله تعالى يوالي عبده بحسب محبته له. الله أكبر. He says والولاية أصلها الحب. What is the root of the wilaya and the origin of the wilaya? It comes from what? From love. How can you become the wali of a person that you don't like? It doesn't go, right? Yeah. أصل الحب فلا موالاة إلا بحب. See, when somebody becomes wali of this person, there is a love between them. كما أن العداوة أصلها البغض. You hate a person, you become his enemy. Enmity is originated from what? From hatred. You hate that person and then you become his enemy. والله ولي الذين آمنوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the believers. And they are his awliya, right? They are his awliya. Yeah, because the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be attained by anyone. I know. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So the wilaya is given to anyone who qualifies those two conditions. Iman وَتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Yeah. من كان لله تقيا كان لله وليا كما ذكر الشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية. If a person is متقي لله عز وجل, he is ولي من أولياء الله عز وجل. Yeah, that's what you need to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something, you know, in the way those people are saying that, no, just a specific type of people can become wali of Allah, because it's a very good business. Yeah, to make money, you know. You get it? And they have different types of awliya. سُئِلَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَنْتَ وَلِي قَالَ شُوَيْ شُوَيْ أَنْتَ وَلِي قَالَ أَبِتْ. Allah understand. So either he is in or he is out, you know. قَالَ فَهُمْ يُوَالُونَهُ بِمَحَبَّتِهِمْ لَهُ وَهُوَ يُوَالِهِمْ بِمَحَبَّتِهِ لَهُ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their love towards Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the wilaya for them because of his love for them. Allah ta'ala yuwali abdahu bihasbi muhabbatihi lahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves in according to the muhabba that he has towards that person. He has the wilaya in according to the muhabba. Get it? And also it works also in the other way. According to the mahabba of the slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get the love and the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is truthful, then he will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his wilayah. ولهذا أنكر سبحانه وتعالى من اتخذ من دونه أولياء بخلاف من والى أولياءه فإنه لم يتخذهم أولياء من دونه بل موالاتهم له من تمام موالاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى blamed and rejected the attitudes and the behavior of those who take other than Allah as awliya. Okay, you have to see the difference here, right? Taking a wali other than Allah is different from somebody who takes the believers to be his awliya. He doesn't cancel Allah, but he also has the wilayah on the believers. You remember, the name is believers, right? Why is he loving them? Because of the belief. Belief in who? Rabbul Alameen. So the reason why he has the wilayah for the believers is Rabbul Alameen. You get it? Muhabbatuhu lahum tabi'a li muhabbatihim lillahi azza wa jal. I love him for the sake of Allah. Why am I loving him? Because he's a very righteous person. So my mahabba is based on his righteousness. And this righteousness to who? To Rabbul Alameen. So that means my mahabba to him is also dependent on the mahabbatullah azza wa jal. That's why Allah did not blame them. To say to them, no, you cannot have any wali other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. Because they are not canceling Allah and they are not making them partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first scenario, they are making those ones partners of Allah. Because they love them in the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's why when those partners, advise them to do something which is contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, what will be the reply? Yes or no? Yes, they will say yes. They will do. Because they love them in the way they love Allah, so they have a capacity like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way they stay away from doing things because of Allah, and they stay away from doing things also because of them. That's why they got blamed. Not the one who loves the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their iman. Because his wilayah is based on the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and based on the love those people have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ أَنْكَرَ عَلَى مَنْ يُسَوِّي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ غَيْرِهِ فِي الْمَحَبَّةِ. Even to equate between the mahabbatullah and the mahabbat غَيْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is wrong. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ اتَّخَذَ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. So he says, whoever does that, he is taking awliya other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يحبهم كحب الله. He loves them just like the way he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال تعالى, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There are some people who love other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, andadan yuhibbunahum kahubbillah. They love them just like the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whereas the believers, they are the highest and the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else. If you're looking for somebody who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best love and the most of the love is the believers. So the kuffar and the bad ones, they love other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they cancel the mahabba of Allah and replace it with the mahabba of those ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. If you're looking for أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, look at that person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their loves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وأخبر أمن يسوي بينه وبين الأنداد في الحب أنهم يقولون في النار لمعبودهم تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. He says on the day of judgment, those people who are equating other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Allah, they will come and say to each other on the day of judgment, when they go inside hell, تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They will say, definitely, we were in the state of dalal before. Why dalal? إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because we equate you with رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Do you get the idea? So, محبة الله عز وجل has to be alone. You cannot love somebody in the way you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the idea? You can have the wilayah for the believers, but not what like what you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قالت الله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين وبهذا التوحيد في الحب أرسل الله جميع رسله وأنزل جميع كتبه وأطبقت عليه دعوات جميع الرسل من أولهم إلى آخرهم ولأجله خلقت السماوات والأرض والجنة والنار فجعل الجنة لأهله والنار للمشركين وقد أقسم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا يؤمن عبد حتى يكون هو أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين فكيف بمحبة الرب جل جلاله وقال لعمر بن الخطاب لا أي لا والله يا عمر حتى أكون أحب إليك من نفسك أي لا تؤمن حتى تصل محبتك إلى هذه الغاية أو إلى هذا الغاية قال وإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أولى بنا من أنفسنا في المحبة ولوازمها فليس الرب جل جلاله وتقدست أسماؤه وتبارك اسمه وتعالى جده ولا إله غيره أولى بمحبة عباده من أنفسهم Ibn Qayyim says, with this tawheed, the tawheed of muhabba, he says, tawheed fil hub, arsala Allahu jami'a rusuli. All the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to establish this tawheed. Wa anzala jami'a kutubihi, and he revealed all of his books because of this. Wa atbaqat alayhi jami'a da'watu rusul, and all of the da'wah of the messengers is based on this. Bil ijma. From the first to the last one. And because of this tawheed, the heavens and the earth were created. And the hell and Jannah were created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made Jannah li ahli tawheed. People of this kind of tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Jannah for them. Wa nara lil mushrikeen. And hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the final dwelling place for the mushrikeen. وقد أقسم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صوب الله أنه لا يؤمن عبد حتى يكون هو أحب إليه من والده والناس أجمعين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said والذي نفسي بيده you know لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده والناس أجمعين you will never reach the peak of faith and belief until the time I become more beloved to you than your children Your parent and yourself. And وَالنَّاسَ أَجْمَيْنَ And everyone. So if this is the case with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who is a human being, فَكَيْفَ بِمَحَبَّةِ الرَّبَّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ What do you think would be said concerning the محبت الله عز وجل? وَقَدْ قَالَ لِعُمَرَ That's why Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told Umar رضي الله عنه When Umar says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا نَفْسِي أَلَتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيَّ He says, I love you more than anything else except my soul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi, you will never reach the peak of faith. Hatta akuna habba ilayka min nafsik. He says, you will never reach the peak of faith until the time I become more beloved to you than your soul. Ay la tu'min hatta tasila mahabbatuka ila hadha al-ghaya. You will never reach the peak of faith until the time your love reached this goal. I mean, until the time you love Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than anybody else, including yourself. قَالَ وَإِذَا كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْلَى بِنَا مِنْ أَنفُسِنَا If the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be, you know, the one who deserves our respect more than ourselves, you know, أَوْلَى بِنَا مِنْ أَنفُسِنَا deserve our respect and reverence more than ourselves, You know, fil mahabba, when it comes to love, you know, he is the most deserving person amongst the human beings to be loved, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever necessitate from the mahabba. أَفَلَيْسَ الرَّبُّ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَتَقَدَّسَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُهُ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّهُ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ أَوْلَى بِمَحَبَّةِ عِبَادِهِ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ He said, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves more respect than anybody else? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is a human being, deserves this respect, don't you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves much more than whatever you establish for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of love? And you Allah, this is the truth. The one that is love from every dimension. You know, لِذَاتِهِ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So I guess this is the best place to stop. The other paragraph is quite lengthy. So I'll stop here, inshallah, to receive questions, if any. If not, then we say, Assalamu alaikum.
How do we understand the hadith that says, لَمْ يَرَحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ, they will not smell paradise, and the hadith of Shafa'ah, يُخْرَجُ مِنَ النَّارِ,
these are hadith ruwaid. The best when it comes to hadith ruwaid in annaha tumarru kama atat. You know, we let them pass in the way they came. The scholar said ta'arrudhu laha yufqidu quwwataha wa haybataha. Trying to make some modifications, all of these things, it reduces the strength. Somebody wanted to commit suicide. You tell him, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل نفسه بشيء عذب به يوم القيامة. If that one is not enough for you, you tell him, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قتل نفسه بحديدة فحديدته في يده يجأ بها بطنه في نار جهنم يوم القيامة في نار جهنم خالدا مخلدا فيها أبدا. You tell him this with no explanation. Rasulullah said, whoever takes a knife and kills himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him go to hell with a knife and keep on stabbing himself with a knife forever and ever and ever. Because he says, Khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada. Somebody's taking riba. You tell him, Istaghfirullah, innahu kana ghaffara. And he's not willing to stop. You get it? Yeah, you advise him to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but sometimes there might be a situation that you need to reveal on them those hadith of wa'id. You tell him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. You'll be asking, خُلُود فِي النَّارِ, if somebody eats riba, yeah, tell him that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is Quran, show him the ayah. There is explanation given by the scholars, but the scholars mentioned to us it's better to keep it literally, just pass it in the way it came. It has more impact in the heart of the one who is listening. Yeah, because if you're reducing that impact through explanation, then those criminals, they might get justification to continue with their crimes. Salah salam wa lafiyah. Yeah.
Masjid wajib, or is it?
Most of the scholars believe that Tahiyatul Masjid is highly recommended. Minority believe that Tahiyatul Masjid is wajib for a person to do Tahiyatul Masjid whenever he comes to the Masjid. If you look at the Nusus, Majmaluha, you come up with the Karaha. Karaha to an yajlis al insan qabla an yusalli rakatin. The least you can say is Karaha. Yet it's inappropriate for a person to come to the masjid without praying. But to say it is wajib is shadid. You get the idea? With all of those nusus, هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرُهَا قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَن تَطَوَّعَ. You get it? And those three people who came to the masjid and sit down, we are not told that they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalad, when he came, he prayed to the companions too. In this story, they came to the masjid, one of them find furja, and he sat in that furja space, so he sat. The other one couldn't find space, so he sat behind. The other one got annoyed, so he left. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنِ النَّفَرِ الثَّلَاثِ. He says, the first one, فَأَوَى إِلَى اللَّهِ فَأَوَاهُ اللَّهِ. And the second one, he says, فَاسْتَحْيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ مِنْ. And the third one, he says, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. We're not told from the narration of the hadith that they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get the idea? So that's why most of the scholars believe that it is inappropriate but not wajib. So this is my advice to any student of knowledge. If you come to the masjid, pray to Allah before you sit down. Some of our scholars said, unless if there is a dars, it's better to go to dars rather than going for the hated masjid. Get it? Because they said those three people, they just went to the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, straightforward.
Why do we draw the line? For example, if we know that there's no banks which are halal, that means there's no banks which do not provide interest. So we decide, okay, we want to open, we want to buy a safe and give our money because we love Allah. So where do we draw it? How do we know where? Is this person?
It's not, these days, it's really dangerous.
But does this person love Allah because he's doing this? Or is this called over exaggeration?
Is it called?
Over exaggeration.
I know. Inshallah, Allah SWT will reward His love, but when there is a concession, a person should take it. Yeah. Rather than going to put yourself into trouble, and then who to be blamed? Get the idea? Yeah, we're living within the crimes and criminals. If they know that you have money at home, you have a lot of visitors. Yeah, so keep it there. And restrict yourself to the darura. You're going there because of the darura, and restrict yourself to the darura. Al-darura to tuqaddar bi qadariha. You take only what you need in the darura case. That's why if you're hungry and you need to eat food to survive, you don't take bunkus. Yeah, just eat what you need, and then that's it, inshallah. You can only take bunkus if you are afraid of being in the same trouble in the future. Then you take some, keep it with you in case you are in trouble. If you're in trouble, then you eat. If you're not in trouble, then you just throw it away. Have to. Yeah. Allah grant us good.
Sheikh, another question, Sheikh. If you eat something, and then once it's in your mouth, you taste ants. You can taste ants, so you spit it out immediately. But it's haram to eat ants. It's haram to kill them.
How do you taste ant? You used to eat ant or what?
The taste is maruf. We know how ants taste like.
No, we don't know.
Like, Sheikh, in the morning, I had chocolate cakes.
And then it tastes like ant.
And the ones I put in my mouth.
Maybe that's the taste of that chocolate. Why do you exaggerate,
You feel the ants moving in your mouth?
No, taste.
I see ants in the...
In the thing.
On the cake, on the plate. I pick the one that I think there are no ants.
Just assume salam, wa aman,
Ants have...
They have some taste. So we need to come to Yusuf to tell us which...
Another question, Sheikh.
Yeah, anyway, you shouldn't eat what Sharia says is prohibited. There are some concessions they give to some types of insects.
Worms.
The worms and the insects inside tamar, for instance. Just eat your tamar. Because sometimes when you open the tamar, you see a lot. Yeah, until now we open. And when you open, you saw those things, throw them away. But sometimes if you just eat it like that, there might be some one or two, three insects. You don't know about them. You don't feel them. You just feel tamar. Except Yusuf. Yeah. So whatever is haram, a person shouldn't eat. If he knows about their existence. But if he doesn't know, then he's not responsible.
Sheikh, another question, Sheikh. If you're making wudu, and on the ground there are ants. If you make wudu, the water will go on ants and you kill them. Should you go to make wudu somewhere else?
If there is a place where you can avoid them, it's better. What I do when I go to the place where I see them, I chase them away first. And I chase them away, I put water in the area so that they will not come back. Then, khalas. Yeah. Because it's not good to kill them. They're not doing anything. They're looking for the risk. You know. I mean. But it's not also good to exaggerate. Go and check and see at every corner to see whether there is ant or not. Yeah.
Sheikh, there is a question about the hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned Al-Kam'atu min al-man wa ma'uha shifa'u lil-ayn. So they're asking, what is Al-Kam'a here?
Well, until now, I don't know exactly the name. You know, whenever I read Tafasir, they always quote this hadith, Al-Kam'atu min al-man wa ma'uha shifa'u lil-ayn. They talk about this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about Anzalna alaykum al-manna wa-salwa. So this one, I refer the person to check the qawamis, right? Al-Kam'a. Yeah. And if you're next to the villages, it's better to ask them, what do you consider as Kam'a? So I know, I'm pretty sure those people who are dealing with Ashab, they will guide us here a lot on that. Ashab means traditional medicine, it's herbs, right? They should know better which tree is defined as Al-Kama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's from Al-Man wa ma'uha shifa'u lil-ayn. Allahu alam. Maybe somebody should, this class of mine is lazy. Otherwise somebody might just go and get it and buy it and then show us, then khalas, we become scholars in this.
I don't think so, they have it here.
In Malaysia?
It's a thicket.
With all of these deserts and in Malaysia? Maybe the mind the home? Okay. So only Wahid Yiji Min Saudi is to bring it. Or any other village. It's good actually these type of things for us to see them. What they are. Yeah. Allah grant us good. You know. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, usually when it comes to these things, what he knows, he tells. What he doesn't know, he tells. Basically, the scholars mentioned this, but I don't know which plant is this, which thing is this. Maybe somebody should go and. But those ones they do. Tomorrow they will bring it. Yeah. Raise it up and tell people, oh, this is what. Yeah. He will ask the crowd, do you know what is this? Nobody knows. So please, somebody should go and do research and get it for us. Yeah. A lot of assignments, I guess, but this is the latest one we remember. Yeah. So many hadiths we gave Abdul Rahman, none of them came. Finish the questions? Yes.
Now the month of Shaban has started.
According to the vast majority of the scholars, it's recommended to fast the first half of it, the first 15 days. And then after that, you hold on, you don't fast. Because of the hadith that says, إِذَا انْتَصَفَ شَعْبَانَ فَلَا تُصُومُ. When Shaban reach half, you don't fast. Some scholars don't accept this hadith, but the majority believe that, yes, it is okay. And as such, they said you shouldn't fast. Yeah. For sure, one day before Ramadan, this one is haram to fast, unless if a person has a daily, has a routine. He used to fast Monday and Thursday, and Monday and Thursday falls into one of these 2 days. Yeah, then you just go ahead and continue to fast. So it's good if you fast, the first part of it, you fast whatever you can fast. But then the last part of it, you just hold, you don't fast unless if you are among those who are fasting Monday and Thursday. So Allah alayhi wa sallam.
They were fasting so often and they were eating minimally. How did they become so strong?
Yeah, because they're eating very little.
Yeah, how did they become? Because the.
Because they're eating.
They are really strong.
Yeah, because they're eating little. Not necessarily. Yeah, you eat moderately. It gives you strength and it gives you energy. And your brain will always be active. Active in the good way. Yeah. there is no good in eating a lot at all whatsoever. There's no good in eating a lot. It makes your body weak. You will be exhausted very easily, and your body will be vulnerable, you know, in terms of you getting exposed to sicknesses and diseases. Yeah, but if you eat moderately, just what you need, that's really help in terms of strength and energy and power. And those people, they are people of exercises. They're not lazy. They're always at work. And this one helps a lot. You know, it's not about eating. It's about you moving your body. The circulation of the blood and the muscles, they're always at ease. They relax. You know, that's why they're skinny. They're not fat. Abu Bakr, the Lahman, they mentioned that is very skinny. Yeah, companions of the Prophet also are not. That's why he says one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, قَوْمٌ يَظْهَرُ فِيهِ مُسْلِمًا. It's one of the signs of the Day of Judgment to have this artificial fatness, you know. There are some who, they became like that, not artificially, naturally. This one is okay, you don't blame the person. Yeah, there are scholars also who are like that, and blame them. But there are some who artificially they became like this because they eat too much. You get an idea. So those companions, they are skinny. And the Arabs, they used to like this actually so much. That's why they hate to see a fat man. They don't like to see a fat person. The woman, yes, they don't like skinny. So in the hadith of Umm Zar, when she was praising Abu Zar, she said, she described the son. She said, وَيْشْبِعْهُ ذِرَاعُ الْجَفْرَ I forgot. Okay, that in translation, I tried to recall her words, I couldn't get. But she said, this boy sleeps on the bed that is made by small woods. You know, on the, maybe if you press a little bit, it will get destroyed. This boy is sleeping on. Yeah, and you can imagine how skinny is this. And she said, little amount of meat, the front leg of a small, tiny sheep is enough for him. He's satisfied. She's just trying to tell you that this man is very skinny. Yeah, because whoever hears this amongst the Arabs, they will say, yeah, definitely he has a man in his house. But when she described the daughter, she doesn't say this. She said, طَوْعَ بِهَا وَطَوْعُ أُمِّهَا وَغَيْضُ جَارَتِهَا وَمِلْءُ كِسَائِهَا. Very obedient to the father and the mother. And she's at the level of beauty in which her co-wife is always jealous of her. وَمِلْءُ كِسَائِهَا. Kisa is a libas. She filled the clothes, you know. And they found it, definitely this is a woman, you know. To get an idea. Why do they like a skinny person? Because they are fighters. Imagine this huge tank, you know. Yeah, some people, they eat. The surah, they become so fat, you know. They're able to lift heavy things. A'udhu billah. Yeah. So imagine he goes to fight. How can he fight? They need somebody who is very quick in al-karr wal-far. Will turn very quickly and run away and jump here and there, you know. It doesn't fit. Yeah, so we don't do like them, but we say that Islam encourages us not to eat a lot. That's why I really advise you to train yourself not to have, okay, I know you will never accept this, but not to be worried so much about food. Sheikhuna Sheikh Abdul Razak used to say that you have to train yourself ala tajweer. Tajweer means you make yourself hungry sometimes. I suppose, keep moving. And personally, I think if I don't eat, think properly, and I have energy when I don't eat. That's why the day I fast is the best days. I revise, I understand more. When I eat, I get lazy. It's hard to focus on one thing. Yeah. So whenever I know I'm going to give lecture, maybe some of you will realize that you keep on telling me, eat this, I don't want. It's better for me not to have anything except a little bit of water. Yeah, That's my personal experience. I know everyone has his own. Yeah, but generally, not eating too much, being having an empty stomach, help a person to think properly. Yeah, and moderation is good in everything. Yeah, you became so hungry intentionally and you make yourself like that, that might affect the focus. Yeah. So moderation is good in this regard. It's a very good question. I like it so much. Therefore, this is my advice to people. Yeah, eat once in a day. Once. If you add 1.5. Yeah, this is my advice. Eat once. If you add, then 1.5. Have a breakfast, not heavy. Although the concept of a doctor says breakfast is eat like a king. No, don't. It makes you lazy. And you don't think so much. Eat what your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks you to eat. Always what can remove the hunger from you. That's it. And strengthen your backbone. Breakfast should be light. Not very much, very heavy. Yeah, should be light. So that you'll be productive on the, in the day. And don't eat. Eat your dinner. Have a good dinner. And walk after the dinner. Don't sleep. They have a mathal, long ago they said, إِذَا تَغَدَّيْتَ فَتَمَدَّتْ وَإِذَا تَعَشَّيْتَ فَتَمَشَّى. When you eat ghada, what is ghada? Lunch. They said, you can lie down, because you still have some time. When you take asha, some of them even recommend 100 steps before you go to bed. It's not good for you to eat and go straight forward to the... So that's just a proposal which I know it will never be followed. So, but I believe this will be really good for you. You can eat 3 times, but the middle one should be very, very, very light. One of the doctors that I was asking concerning this, he says, you need to eat in the lunchtime, just take fruits. That's it. It's best to take fruit in the lunchtime. Dear sister, just take fruit in the lunchtime. Okay, those are his advice. There are some advice he gave which I became a disbeliever in them, but, but anyway, I believe the most important food is the breakfast and the dinner. My reason is that even in Ramadan, in fasting, Allah canceled the middle one and emphasize so much on the first and the last one. Even you get a blessing from Allah when you have suhoor. You get blessing when you have iftar and on time, right? But the middle one, stay away from it for 1 month. Yeah, that means if you are to make a comparison, the best one is the breakfast. And so to conclude this, eat moderately and little, as much as you can, make it little. Yeah, no problem sometimes, because sometimes we go out, you know, you have been eating little by little, but sometimes some occasions comes, you just eat a bit more. Yeah, the scholars also do that sometimes. Yeah, that's fine. Get it? But the vast majority of your life should be like that. I know if you're Yamil Darasa in Mamlaka, you know, subhanAllah, and even when we come here, me and my friends sometimes, like, trust me, we remember food Maghrib time. So we used to make joke, why can't we just fast? Yeah, because this is the first meal we're going to eat is after Maghrib. So after seeing the fatwa that says you can fast at any time, so we used to make jokes, let us just make intention. If we get it, alhamdulillah. If we lost it, we're not losing anything. Anyway, we are going to reach. But that's really, really good for us. We really enjoy it so much. And nothing happened. You know, many people are saying, oh, if you do this, you know. The same goes to sleep. I will not say don't sleep. Sleep. Sleep enough, but reduce your sleep as much as you can. Nothing will happen. As long as you're not taking supplements and some additional thing that will make you awake, you just remain as natural as possible. Nothing will happen to you, inshallah. Yeah. 4 hours is good. For the body. If you can make them continuous, that's good. If you can sleep very early, you know, right after Isha, go sleep. Wake up at 12. And then stay until Fajr if you wish. That's really excellent. And sleep after Dhuhr. That's the best manhaj for the student of knowledge. Yeah, but we don't. We stay awake unnecessarily, wake up missing Fajr, and then also sleep. Zuhr also mas salama, you know. Thank you. Subhanakallah.
How long do you sleep after Zuhr?
Huh?
How long do you sleep after Zuhr? Between Zuhr
and Asr? Between Zuhr and Asr. Ah, that sleep is really good. You see, trust me. You see, sleep that you have right after Isha until 11 to 12, that one gives you rest. You feel strange energy, I'm telling you. And that's why that goes also to the sleep. You know, if I sleep, sometimes I stay awake until Fajr, or almost Fajr. After Fajr, I wait for the car and then do some activities and then sleep. Trust me, I never enjoy sleep, you know, that is better than the sleep I do after Zuhr. That one sometimes is only 1 hour, but I feel like I slept for 5 hours. Yeah. And I guess this is nothing strange, because this is what the doctors mentioned, that any sleep that you're going to have after 12 is useless. Yeah, you need a lot of sleep for you to gain what you were supposed to be getting when you sleep for 2 hours after Isha. And this, you don't need them to explain this, because this is a reality. We experience this and we feel it, you know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yakrahu an-nawm qabla al-Isha wa yakrahu al-haditha ba'da salat al-Isha. He used to dislike sleeping before Isha and also sitting down to chat after Isha. The scholar said, except for the student of knowledge who have something to read and to revise, you know. Yeah. And إذا لم تكونوا مستعجلين سنصلي الآن. Inshallah. إذا لم تكونوا صلي. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.